Good morning. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. My wife and I are really, really thankful to be with you all this morning. And my name is Josh Knipp. I'm pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel. By God's grace, Lord willing, this fall we'll be launching. And we're just in the early stages of building our core group and seeing who God's prepared to join us in this work of advancing the gospel. And I just think Jesus needs to be getting more worship from the Hoosier State, don't you? That's right, amen. So we're really rejoicing in all that God's doing among us, and we're also really rejoicing together as a young core group in what God is doing among you. And God's doing a lot, amen? And God's doing a lot in Harvest Granger, amen? I bring you greetings from our core group, and we've prayed for you. We've especially prayed for this morning, and I trust that the glory of our partnership in the gospel in Indiana is just going to be seen in greater measure over time. Human relationships can be really interesting, can't they? You ever notice that? You ever have any interesting human relationships? They get messy. They get messy really, really easy. You ever wondered why? Why are relationships just so hard? Why does it get so messy? Why is it so confusing? Here's one of the answers, I think. I think one of the reasons, and one of the primary reasons, why human relationships get so messy is because we have the wrong goal. We just have the wrong goal for what our relationships are about. I brainstormed 9 wrong goals. 9 wrong goals for human relationships. I'm going to go through them fast. Here they come. 9 wrong goals that people have in their relationships. 1, mutual entertainment. You know, we just watch football together. We just sit around. We just gossip. We talk about everybody else. And why do you hang out with them? They entertain me. Mutual entertainment. 2, to get ahead. To get ahead. You know, my life is about career advancement. I'll scratch your back. You scratch mine. It's about who you know. Wrong goal for sure. 3, companionship. Companionship. Is it wrong to want companionship? No, of course not. It's not wrong to want companionship. God made us for companionship. It's just wrong to make it the goal in our relationships. I don't want to be alone. I get that. I hate being alone. I shouldn't have to be alone. 4, self-justification. I go to my friends so that they can just tell me that I'm right. If my friends and I had the opportunity to run the world, if we had the opportunity to run the world, things would be a whole lot different. A lot of things would change. Self-justification. 5, security. Of course it's not wrong to want security. It's not wrong to have security. God made security to be a blessing to us. The problem is when we make what's supposed to be a blessing to us the goal of our relationships. You know, we're married. We got married because we are more financially secure. Things just got a little bit more stable that way. Wrong goal. 6, influence. Some people just seem to have to make it their goal to convert everything else to everything that they think about everything. You know anybody like that? Most of the time people like that are wrong anyways. But influence. 7, pleasure. They just make me feel good. You know, they just make me laugh. I just like to hang around them because I just feel better. And of course, that really gets into all kinds of much more perverse ways, too. Comfort. Comfort. Watch out for when Christians start to use each other for mutual comfort and then do it even in the name of Christian community. That's not going anywhere good. That's a stuck church. Get my needs met. Get my needs met. That's kind of the sum total of all these. Kind of the overarching umbrella is relationships are to get my needs met. This seems to be the battle cry of the world, right? You know, how often have you seen in an article, you know, you need to get your needs met. If you got your needs met, you would be happier. The relationship would be better. And so it becomes this battle in human relationships as our goal is to get our needs met. Those are all wrong goals for human relationships. That's why relationships get messy, but the question for us is, which ones are we actually seeking? What wrong goals are you living for in your relationships? Our world's confused about this, but let the Church of Jesus Christ not be confused about what our goal is in our relationships. What is our goal? What does God have for us? God has for you a glorious partnership in the gospel. God has for you a glorious partnership in the gospel. Let me give you a definition of partnership in the gospel. Partnership in the gospel is at least two believers seeking to advance the gospel together. At least two believers seeking to advance the gospel together. That's our partnership in the gospel. That's the goal of all human relationships. That's the means by which God is glorified in all the earth. As we link arms to get the gospel out together. And I emphasize together. We use the word fellowship a lot. That's biblical fellowship. Getting the gospel out together. Title of the message this morning, The Glory of Our Partnership in the Gospel. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Why? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. Three glories of partnership in the gospel. You ready? Tell me you're ready. Say, I'm ready. Glory number one, partners in the gospel overflow with thanksgiving. Partners in the gospel overflow with thanksgiving. That's in verses 3-6. How does verse 3 begin? I thank my God. I thank my God. You know, it's interesting. Paul could have just said, thank you. He could have said, I thank you, Philippians. But he doesn't say, I thank you, Philippians. He says, I thank my God. Now, spring break's over. Okay. Spring break's over, so let's have an exam. It's going to be an easy exam, but let's have an exam. Which is more grateful, do you think, if I just said, thanks for that? Or if I said, I thank my God. God. I thank my God. It comes from a heart overflowing with gratitude. Paul's bursting forth in thanksgiving. If that's not enough for you so far to prove the point that partners in the gospel overflow with thanksgiving, check this out. Look at the text. Paul, when do you give thanks, Paul? In all my remembrance of you. Wow. He's pretty appreciative of them. How often? Always. In every prayer of mine. For who? For you all. The whole Philippian church. How? Making my prayer with joy. Bring my thanks to God with joy. Raise your hand if you think Paul is overflowing with thanksgiving here. Raise your hand. Now, keep your hand raised. Keep your hand raised if you think Paul's more overflowing with thanksgiving than you. We tend to think we're overflowing with thanksgiving when, we're we're sitting there at our computer and we're like typing our email, and we get to the end and we're like, thanks, comma. No, wait, they might take that the wrong way. I want them to know I'm really thankful. Backspace, exclamation point, smiley face, you know, like we, that's kind of our thought of expressing this deep sense of gratitude. But really, that doesn't come from our innermost being, no question about that. But here, this is an overwhelming emotional outpouring of thanksgiving for the Philippian church. It's from the depths of Paul's heart. You know, but why? What is it that fires him up so much? Why is he so excited for what the Philippians have done? Verse 5, here's why. Because of your partnership in the gospel. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul's overwhelmed because they've partnered with him in the gospel. And you see the phrase, and I'll explain more in a moment, but you see the phrase from the first day until now. Apparently, Paul shared the gospel with the Philippians. You can read about it in Acts chapter 16. And they were converted, and they believed, they trusted in Christ, and they repented of their sin, and immediately they began partnering with Paul. They probably partnered with Paul financially, at least, out of just their intense concern for him, and they never stopped. They continued in intense concern for Paul and his ministry. You know, it's a precious thing. It's a precious thing when someone's converted to the Lord, and you've seen them in the life of your church already, and they just begin serving, and they begin getting excited, and they link arms with the rest of us to advance the gospel out of Harvest Granger together. That's a precious thing. You know, and there's something really special, isn't there? There's something really special about being in something from the beginning. Isn't there something special about that? You know, you guys have all been in... many of you have been in from the beginning here at Harvest Granger to get this church started. And you're continuing your work here. Something special about that. Our work down in Bloomington, we're just in the beginning. You know? But there's a group of people who are coming together. And, it's not the first day of our conversion like it is in this passage, but some of the first days of beginning to establish the advance of the gospel through a local Harvest Bible Chapel in Bloomington, Indiana. It's a special, special thing. It's a special thing for Paul that the Philippians partnered with him from the day of their conversion and have continued to until now. We actually learn in chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, that the only church that partnered with Paul during this time in his life was the church at Philippi. Paul says, no other church entered in with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. Paul's deeply grateful for their partnership. Partners in the gospel overflow with thanksgiving. You know, I've been blessed so many times by God's grace. I've had many seasons of life like that. As I was preparing what I might say to you all, the one that came to mind the most is our church. We're originally from Lafayette, Indiana, and we had a great church there for the last 7 years. We were discipled there. We grew there. We had opportunities to serve there. The pastors and the people of the church just totally poured their lives into us. Time and time again. And generous to us over and over and over. And then the church started a seminary. And in, I know many of you don't know that much about seminary, but seminary is expensive. And if you want to train for ministry and you want to go to school, it's expensive. But the church started a seminary. It actually paid me to go to seminary. That's ridiculous. They paid me to go to seminary. They put me on staff. They paid me. I got my seminary education and got a paycheck at the same time. I just say that never happens. This never happens. Yet they did that for us. And then, to top it all off, when they were sending us from there up to the Harvest Training Center last fall, and we needed to raise just a little bit of support, they partnered with us in the gospel. You know, I was like, we're from Lafayette, Indiana. We have been in Lafayette, Indiana. We haven't left Lafayette, Indiana much. Everybody we know is in Lafayette, Indiana. Most of them, in fact, are at this church. And but I have just kind of as a personal conviction that I wasn't just going to ask everybody in the church for money. And, if the whole church wanted to get behind it, great. But I wasn't going to ask, even from our closest friends. So I contacted our pastor. I said, is there any way the church would want to get behind us and support us in our need to go up to the Harvest Training Center? And I said, I'm not even going to ask from our closest friends. And we haven't to this day. A couple weeks later, I hear back from him. And he said, the church has decided to support you for $5,000. I mean, that is a ton more than anything I ever could have expected. A ton. And I just, it's like I don't even know what to say. My head just dropped and just tears filled my eyes as this church partnered with us in the gospel to go. We wouldn't even be planting Harvest Bloomington if it wasn't for them and their generosity. Overwhelmed with gratitude and thanks to God. Has anyone partnered with you in the gospel? Some of you maybe have had somebody partner with you in the gospel financially, but partnership in the gospel is not just limited to financial support. Remember our definition. Two or more believers seeking to advance the gospel together. Colossians 1:6 tells us the advancement of the gospel is global, but then the advancement of the gospel is also personal. Colossians 1:6 says, the gospel which has come to you, just in all the world also, it is constantly increasing and bearing fruit. So the gospel's advancement is global. We had the opportunity to participate with Japan in that today. But then the text continues, even as it has been doing in you, since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God and truth. So the gospel advances globally, the gospel advances personally. So for many of us, the gospel's advanced personally, probably in the life of this church. Anyone who's taught you anything about Christ in your life has partnered with you in the gospel. Have you ever heard a sermon preached at Harvest Granger that built you up in your faith? Today's not the day, you'll get that next week. Do you have a small group leader who's working tirelessly to build a community of people who can walk with Christ together? That's partnership in the gospel. Who shared the gospel with you initially so that you believed on Christ and you were converted? Them partnering with you in the gospel. You have elders who are overseeing your souls. Has anybody ever given their time in some way to disciple you? A word of encouragement just when you needed it. A friend who always seems to be there at the right time. How about in your marriage? Has your marriage ever served to advance the gospel? If you would say, yes, I'm more Christ-like because of my spouse, it's partnership in the gospel. Maybe your kids. Maybe you've done evangelism with your family. All of that's two or more believers seeking to advance the gospel together. All of it. Partnership in the gospel is broad. And then the question is, okay, if partners in the gospel overflow with thanksgiving, are you overflowing with thanksgiving? Has partnership in the gospel welled up in you to overflow with thanksgiving to all who've poured into you? And if so, some of you know what I'm talking about. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that a glorious thing? It's just the height of human relationship. No other relationship has that kind of thanksgiving produced from it. Except the relationships in the church, the relationships that advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing else is going to result in that kind of explosion of thanksgiving to God. You say, well, maybe I'm not overwhelmed with thanksgiving. I don't really feel it. I don't really sense it. I don't do it. Why not? Busy? Distracted? You have a critical attitude? What's keeping you from being overwhelmed with thanksgiving for all of your partners in the gospel. Let me ask you another question. Who are you pouring your life into? Who are you actively participating in the gospel with? Who are you discipling? Who are you going to teach what I'm saying to you? Who are you going to teach it to? If you're not doing that, you're probably not thankful, but you can get in the game. You can get in the game today. You can start today. Take somebody out to lunch and start talking with them about what we learned at church today about partnership and the gospel. It's not a spectator sport. You can begin to experience the height of human relationships. You can experience this overwhelming sense of gratitude that Paul is experiencing here. You can have that, and you can have it today. Paul's also thankful for another reason. Quickly in verse 6, Paul says, "And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." He who began a good work in you. Maybe you're here this morning and God's never began a good work in you. Maybe what I'm talking to you about this morning, this partnership in the gospel, is the first time you've ever heard anything like this. You know, maybe in your relationships, maybe you sense in your relationships right now they're a mess. Maybe you sense even now that you're just living for yourself in your relationships. God's word would call you to repent. God's word would call you to repent of your selfishness in your relationships. You can enter into the greatest of all human relationships, our partnership in the gospel. You can enter into it today. God's word calls you to repent and place your faith in Jesus Christ for your forgiveness. And you can be forgiven. He loves you. He died on the cross to forgive you. You can enter into this partnership today. You can begin to experience the glorious partnership in the gospel that all of us at Harvest Granger are already experiencing and begin to overflow with thanksgiving. Partners in the gospel overflow with thanksgiving. Glory number two. Partners in the gospel, and I changed this because I think I changed my sermon outline four times after I talked to Micah. Partners in the gospel feel. Add the word feel. Partners in the gospel feel and communicate affection. Partners in the gospel feel and communicate affection. Verses 7 and 8. Paul just totally opens up his heart here. Paul says, "It's right for me to feel this way about you. It's right for me to feel this way about you." Uh-oh. There's a grown man opening up about his feelings. Wives, just nudge your husbands. Just tell them, this is going to be good for you. Just tell them, this is going to be really good for you. It's right for me to feel this way about you all. Feel what way? Paul's deep sense of gratitude from verse 3 for their partnership in the gospel, and Paul's confidence that the work that God began in them in verse 6 would be finished. What God starts, God finishes. What God starts in us, God finishes. By the way, that's a reason to give thanks to God for everybody else in the life of this church who knows Christ, that God, who began a good work in you, will finish it. Why does he feel this way so strongly? Because I hold you in my heart. Because I hold you in my heart, for you all are partakers with me of grace. Partakers, that's a partnership term. You could have said here, partners with me in grace. Emphasis certainly on partnership in the gospel in this passage. We're partnering together in the grace of God. Partnering together in the grace of Almighty God poured out to us in His dear and only Son, advancing His message together. But Paul says, I hold you in my heart. Do you have anybody like that? Just have a special place in your heart? Just, as you think about them, as you think about what they've meant to you and your relationship with the Lord, as you think about how they've grown you up, in your faith? I could mention a number. I'm just going to mention two. The first I would mention, who has just an extremely special place in my heart, is my wife. And so committed to me, and so joyful in this opportunity we have to plant Harvest Bloomington together. And always has been, from the first day of our marriage. The gospel would not have advanced in our lives as far as it has if it were not for my wife. So you have the most special place in my heart. Second, you know, it's a real journey of faith. The second is this just real growing place in my heart of affection for the people who are stepping out in faith with us to start a church from nothing. Committed, godly, wise people who are just getting after it in Bloomington, Indiana, because they believe Jesus is worthy of worship. And they want to see the gospel advanced. And so they've joined with us, and we're doing it together. So blessed to know each of them. I commend you all. I commend you all for being willing to do that. Same thing happened here a few years ago. I commend you for that. Stepping out in faith to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ together. Although I did hear that you guys have a building in the works or something, so that does that mean you guys are no longer officially a church plant? Is that when it stops? Notice the intensity. Some of you who are in here setting up this morning are like, no, it does not mean that. Notice the intensity of the affection that God produces in partners in the gospel. Look at verse 8. What does Paul say to the Philippians? He says, "For God is my witness." Paul's actually taking an oath before God in what he's about to say to the church at Philippi. "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." It's earnest, sincere, it's felt, active affection towards the Philippians. Do you have that kind of affection for those who have partnered with you in the gospel? Every worker in the children's ministry this morning is partnering with you in the gospel. I'm partnering with you in the gospel as by God's grace I try to deliver God's word to you. How many people have partnered with you in the gospel? And can you say, like Paul says here, "I yearn for you. I yearn for you with the affection of Christ Jesus." If you have people like that, then have you communicated your affection for them? As partners in the gospel feel affection, but they also communicate their affection. You know, you wouldn't even actually know it unless I told you, but this church actually has partnered with us in the gospel and Harvest Bloomington and with me personally in a number of ways. Last fall, when I was at the Harvest Training Center, and we came up here, and Trent and Micah, they just gave us a full day of their time and shared their experience with us and encouraged our hearts and prayed for us. They partnered in the gospel with us. Micah this week was actually on the phone with somebody who we're talking to about being a potential worship leader. He gave an hour to them. I just want to commend you as a church. I feel affection towards you and your support of your staff doing that in partnership with other churches who want to see the gospel advanced. Our core group watched the God at Work video of Brent Thomas and God's story and what God's done with him and his life. And we had opportunity to just sit down and talk about, you know, can't you just see Brent on the streets of Bloomington, Indiana, and then impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ and his life totally transformed? Brent, God's using your story to advance the gospel in Bloomington, Indiana already. thank you so much for putting that together. There's several other people I could mention here that have just held Harvest Granger in a special place in our heart. We've got to get back to seeing our partnership in the gospel as the goal in our relationships. Paul continues after he says, "For you all are partakers with me of grace," both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Paul's in prison. The Philippians are with him in prison. They're supporting him in prison. It's interesting, if you look down at verse 12, Paul says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me," his imprisonment, "has really served to advance the gospel." So the Philippians are with him. They're supporting him in prison. Even though he's in prison, the gospel is advancing. The gospel's advancing. And Paul feels affection for them. And he wants to communicate that affection for him. So then he says, "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." How many other relationships have you experienced that feel and communicate that kind of affection? Zero. There aren't any. Only the partnership in the gospel produces a yearning with the affection of Christ Jesus for one another. Three glories of partnership in the gospel. Partners in the gospel overflow with thanksgiving. Partners in the gospel feel and communicate affection. And finally, partners in the gospel pray with priorities. Partners in the gospel pray with priorities. That's coming in verses 9 to 11. Hey, how many of you have actually sat around in a Christian gathering of some sort and taken prayer requests? I mean, I'm sure Aunt Bertha's big toe is really problematic for her. And she needs prayed for. That's just not what Paul prays for. That's not Paul's priority. It's not our priority. Praying with priorities means there's higher things for us to be calling out to God for. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, verse 9, "And it is my prayer." It's my prayer. No question, partnership in the gospel involves mutual prayer for one another. Up to this point, Paul has been receiving from the Philippians and he's given thanks to them. Now Paul's giving back to the Philippians in prayer and he's expressing, what is he praying for? What is he praying for? "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more." Certainly the love of God and of people are in view here. More and more is evidence that they're loving God and others, but they need to grow. They need to continue to grow in loving God and others. What's the greatest commandment? Love God, and second is love one another. How much praying, how much of our prayer lives would be different if we were praying for the greatest things for one another? In our personal requests, in our prayers for other people in our lives and in this church, if we were requesting and praying for things that are dearest to God's heart, the eternal things, the things that really matter. I mean, can't you just be honest and open up about what you really need from God in your life right now? I know, guys, we struggle with that. Let's get it done this week. When you go to small group, ask for prayer. The things that God's really fired up about. We're not just after pursuing comfortable relationships together. Specifically, Paul prays that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Knowledge and all discernment. Paul wants them to grow in the knowledge of God. There's a crisis in the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States of America. People don't know God. People don't know God, and I wonder if it's because we don't pray for that in the life of our church. Arguably, the leading New Testament scholar of like-minded faith to us, D.A. Carson, said in answering this question, "What is the most urgent need in the church in the Western world today? What is it?" So what he said, "The one thing we most urgently need in Western Christendom, is a deeper knowledge of God." That's what we need. We need a deeper knowledge of God. And that's what Paul is praying for the Philippians for. How much of our time and prayer spent together is praying that we would really grow in the knowledge of God.
And in the ability, discernment, the ability to actually apply that knowledge in real time, in real situations in my life. What does love look like now? Okay, now I'm in this situation. What does love look like now? According to my knowledge of God, the glories that would overflow from our churches. If we would be crying out to God for the things that God wants us to be crying out to Him for. Passage closes in verse 10. So that you may approve what is excellent. Why do we need the knowledge of God? Why do we need our love to abound more and more? Why do we need discernment? Why are those near and dear to God's heart? Here's why. So that you may approve what is excellent. And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Maybe one of the reasons that we don't pray for one another that often at all anyways is because we're not actually praying for things that really matter. Maybe you can't get that excited about your thrice removed cousin on your sister's side by marriage, his brother, it's knee surgery. Maybe you can't get that fired up about praying for that, but could you get fired up about praying for your brothers and sisters to grow in the knowledge of God when it's the greatest need in the church today? So they would give their lives to what really matters. They would approve what is excellent so they could stand holy and blameless and pure before Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of Him. Maybe you could get fired up about praying for that. Maybe we could get fired up about praying for that. Partners in the gospel. Partners in the gospel pray with priorities. With God's priorities. Go ahead and stand. Go ahead and stand. So what I want you to do, you're going to get really comfortable with each other really fast. I want you to link arms all the way across the aisles. All the way across the aisles. I want you to link arms. Link arms with everyone in your row across the aisles. This is a picture. This is a picture. Our partnership in the gospel is the most glorious human relationship. We're linking arms together to proclaim Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth so the disciples are made of all nations. There's no other relationship like this one. You won't see this happening in any other place. Partners in the gospel overflow with thanksgiving. Partners in the gospel feel and communicate affection. Partners in the gospel pray with priorities. I'm not going to make you do that forever. Go ahead and hold hands, though. Go ahead and hold hands. We're going to pray together and then continue to hold hands, and we're going to sing the final song together before we have our offering for churches helping churches. In Japan, let's pray. Oh God, may Harvest Granger grow in the knowledge of God. May their love abound more and more. God, as they're already seeking to love you, as they're already seeking to love each other, as they're already seeking to love a lost world, God, may it abound more and more. God, for your name's sake, God, let the gospel go forth as we link arms together from this church. In Christ's name. Amen.